Okay, do we have any more prayer requests? Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? Father, we thank you for the Holy Communion, and we thank you that as we discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have health in our body. So we're specifically looking at this bread, which is the body of Christ, and we see how this perfectly sinless body of Christ was beaten and bruised for us. We also see how there are stripes in this bread. And the Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. Father, we thank you that his body was pierced, and everywhere his body was pierced, he shed blood, and we get redemption in some area for it. Father, we thank you for the broken body of Christ, who took all of our sins, took all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases. He took the full wrath of your fiery judgment. He bore the full brunt of the curse so that we could be free. So we're taking of this broken body in the name of Jesus for our healing and well-being. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because Jesus never once made a mistake. He never sinned. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we have boldness to enter into God's presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's because of that blood that we've been put in right standing with him so we can expect to receive his blessings and his mercy. And it's because of his blood of Jesus that we have our sins completely washed away when we get born again. And according to 1 John 1:7, our sins are continually washed away. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 6, and we'll continue on with our adventure in these different things that happened when Jesus said, "It is finished." When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He wasn't just talking about the crucifixion. He wasn't just talking about that. There was a whole bunch of things that happened when he said, "It is finished." One of those things is the cancellation of sin's power. See, everybody understands when they get born again that their sins got washed away, but they don't. A lot of people don't understand that the power of sin got taken away too. See, we're not going to operate in something that we don't know about. There's a worldly saying out there that says, "If you don't know about it, it won't hurt you." That is so far from the truth. There's a lot of things that the Christians don't know about that hurt them every day. A lot of it is because of the doctrines of men. You know, if people don't ever hear about the word of faith, if they don't ever hear about the word of healing, if they don't ever hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how are they going to operate in it? They won't. One of the crazy things I heard early on and said, you need to just stay out of the book of Romans. It'll just confuse you. You know, I got more clarity out of the book of Romans, more revelation out of the book of Romans, it's just amazing how much important stuff is in there for the Christians. And we need to know what's in there. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Just clarify that for you a little bit. See, we identify with Christ and we were with him. We were with him all the way through everything. Not only were we with him when he got raised up and seated at the right hand of Christ. See, the Bible tells us that we've been seated at the right hand of Christ. We also were with him through the crucifixion and his death. But right there, it says, we got baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is a really good picture of the water baptism. See, the same as Jesus went into that grave, when we get baptized, literally, we get dunked in the water, we're in that grave, and we come back in newness of life. Now, you get born again. When you get born again, your spirit is made alive. But it's important for us to identify with Christ as often as possible, and baptism is one of those things. When we get water baptized, we're actually cutting ourselves away from our enemies. The same way the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea. They walked down in that grave. They walked through it. They came up the other side. The water closed in on their enemies and cut them off. There was a separation between them and their enemies. You know, there was a missionary that was going down into Africa. And he said there was a lot of witch doctors down there. A lot of crazy stuff down there. And he said he could get people born again all day long. And those witch doctors, they didn't care. They'd sit under their tree, bananas, or whatever it was they did. They didn't care one way or another. How many people he got born, he could stack them up by the hundreds. They didn't care. He said when he went to water baptize people, these witch doctors would go crazy. Absolutely go out of their mind. And here's the reason why. People can get born again all day long. And the devil can still manipulate them. He can still just do whatever kind of he wants. He doesn't own them anymore, but he can manipulate them all day long. But baptism is one of the first acts of obedience that we've been told to take. So when we start taking a step in faith and obedience towards Christ, that drives the devil crazy. Because now we're starting to learn how to operate by faith. And if we learn how to operate in faith, he's toast. He knows he cannot control you the way he used to. When you learn how to operate in faith, he's done. See, this is why it's important. And I tell people this all the time. When it's time to get baptized, people will get born again. And I said, now, you need to get baptized. And they say, okay. And I said, so we'll set a date. And I said, now look. Don't be surprised if all hell breaks loose. But no matter what, get down here and get baptized. I don't care if mama can't make it. I don't care if I don't care what happens, no matter what, get down there and get baptized. Do not put it off. Don't put it off another day. Because the devil will try to get you to put it off and put it off. He'll get you to put it off for a week. And then pretty soon you're a month out. And then pretty soon you're a year out. And then pretty soon it's not even fresh on your mind anymore. And then pretty soon you just forget about it. When I tell people, I say, look, don't wait for everybody to be there. Don't wait for a special day. Don't wait for a special time. Now is the time. The same way getting born again. Now is the time to get born again. Don't put it off. Now is the time to get water baptized. Don't put it off. Get it now. See, these are important milestones for us that we must accomplish immediately. Now, we'll carry on here. So now, right there in verse 4, he said, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. And that's what we're after. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. There you are on the cross. You were on the cross with him. Your old man was crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You know something? You can't kill a dead man. You've already died unto Christ. You've done all the dying you're going to do. So you don't have to fear death anymore. You're just going to change addresses. See, that's why it's important to get born again, so you make sure you have the correct address. Because you're going to go somewhere. When you wear your body out, you're going to go somewhere. I didn't say if. I said when. But you should look to that day as a joyous event, because you're going to be with Jesus. It can't get any better than that. Don't hurry the process along, because he still has work for you to do down here. Enjoy your ride while you're here. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. It doesn't have any more dominion over you. For in that he died unto sin once, but that in he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but ye yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You want to find out how to have a real struggle with sin? Start trying to keep the law. That's how you're going to have a real struggle with sin. Because you will fail in keeping the law. But if you want to conquer sin, then receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Amen? Because then it's all about him and not about us. If it's ever about us, we're going to fail, I promise you, every time. There's nobody has ever been able to keep the law. But Like my pastor used to say, he said, you need to take advantage of grace. Now, that's not being sloppy. That doesn't give you license to sin. It doesn't give you license to be an idiot. And you know it. But when you make a mistake, understand that grace is already there to take care of it. He did that on the cross. He shed his blood for us. He removed us from the law of sin and death. Put us in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, said Paul had a question here, verse 15. Says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. That's not what he was talking about. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, you should circle those. You've been made free from sin and become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right there, it tells us that we have been taken. You know, sin is a state. You got to understand that. A lot of people act like that it's an action, and then the actions happen because of the state you're in. But you've been taken out of that sin state and placed in to a whole new place. You've been placed in Christ. And you have victory in Him. And truly, your victory over sin is only in Christ Jesus. You know, one of the, if you go into these bookstores, I don't know, you can probably find, if you look hard enough, in any given bookstore in Midland, you can probably find 100 self-help books in there. You could maybe, if you really were diligent and looked hard, you could probably find a couple thousand self-help programs. I got a question for you. If self-help programs really worked, why are there so many of them? But Jesus works all the time. There's only been one of Him. When we pick up Jesus, we start reading His Word, we're building a fellowship with Him. See, when you get born again, you get a relationship. You're always His kid. But it's fellowship that's going to make you stronger in Christ. It's that fellowship that's going to cause you to learn of conquering sin. See, you've already been made more than conquerors through Christ that loved you. And sometimes we have challenges, you know, and sometimes these challenges may seem big. Well, one thing we have to understand is greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. See, the devil may be running around out there causing a lot of trouble, but God's inside you. And God already conquered the devil. All you have to do is enforce it. And the only way you can enforce it is to know it. See, if you don't know the devil's been defeated, you're going to have a hard time with him. Because you'll be trying to do something that's already been done. And you're not going to get it done. But once you know who you are and what you have, you'll smoke him every time. Smoke him like that pig we had last night. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You know, Paul called the law of sin and death. See, Paul, he was studying, he was going to be high priest. There was nothing about the law that he didn't know. He knew it inside and out. He knew it all. He was a master. He knew it. And then he got born again, and he called the law the ministry of sin and death. That right there should give you some encouragement to stay away from law. Stay away from trying to keep the law and live your life free in Christ. You know, people run around and they'll go to the end of the world telling people that they're saved by grace. They'll go tell them, say, "You're saved by grace." And then the guy will show up to church and say, "Now here's these 5 or 10 things that you got to do in order to be saved." And then they get frustrated and they give up. And truly, they'll have the same conversation with God that I did with him. I was trying to do all this stuff, trying to figure out all this stuff, that all these people had all these ideas, and I finally just threw the Bible down on the table and said, "I can't do this." Nobody can. Nobody can keep the law. We haven't been told to keep the law. We have been told to believe on him. The devil particularly hates Romans chapter 8. That's why you should read that several times. You should read it often. We studied Romans chapter 8 in here, and it took us a month of Sundays to get through it, I think. It took a long time. But seriously, Romans chapter 8 is a special love letter to you. It's talking about what happened to you in Christ Jesus, who he is to you. You're free. You're free. Not only have you been set free, but you've been liberated. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 54. "So when this corruptible put on incorruption, when this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, Paul said he didn't know he's a sinner until he knew the law. See, where there's no law, there's no sin. But see, once he knew the law, then he knew he's a sinner. If you want people to not do something, if you want people to if you want to see people do something they're not supposed to do, tell them not to do it. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. There's a guy up home at a fishing pond right by the highway, and he told everybody in town, said, go out there and catch those fish. There's getting too many bass in there. We got to get some of them out of there. And everywhere you go, you tell people, go out there and catch some fish. Nobody go out there and catch some fish. So he put a no fishing sign on his gate, and he couldn't keep them out of there. Come on, now be honest. How many of you, when you see that speed limit sign, keep it two or three notches above? You Phoenix guys, I know you do. The flesh is always going to go against the law. The law is always going to go against the flesh. So God found a problem with that old covenant. And he got Jesus down here to fix this thing. Because he was the only one that could keep that law. And he kept that law perfectly, and he never made a mistake. See, that's why it was against the law for Satan to put him on that cross. But because Jesus got on that cross, it gave him the right to set us free. That's grace. You know, the man that never made a mistake took all the judgment so that the man that made all the mistakes could walk in all the freeness and liberty and blessings of God. That's grace. What a trade. You know, in the horse world, I'd say God's not a very good horse trader. Because he gave the very best for us. Amen. Praise God he did. We weren't going to get it done. Go back to Romans chapter 8. You know, sometimes people run around acting like they're orphans, cut away from the covenants of promise. See, before we got born again, we were aliens and we were cut off from the covenants of promise. We didn't have any ability to receive the promises of God. We didn't qualify for them. But once we got born again, look at what happened. Verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself, the Bible says in the King James Version, it says itself. But we're talking about Holy Spirit, and He's Himself. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. As you know, in the book of John, in the book of 1 John, it tells us as many of us that are the children of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. God spent a lot of time in the Bible talking about how we are children, how we are sons and daughters, you know, how we belong to Him. We're part of the family. You know, the verse ahead of that says, now let's go to verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's literally, we call Abba, we call that Daddy. That's the most intimate way to address your father. You know, we're told to have childlike faith. And a child, you know, most of the little kids I've seen running around, they run around calling their father daddy. They don't call him father. They call him daddy. Why? Because they're close. They're close. And, you know, that's the way he wants us to have our fellowship with him. Abba, Father. You know, sometimes people get rigid in their fellowship with God. Sometimes, you know, some of them call him daddy. Some people will call him father. Some people will just call him God. You know, God is what he is. That's not who he is. He is your daddy. He is your father. And he wants you to have that same childlike fellowship with him. Now, verse 17, since we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Get a hold of this. You're a joint heir with Christ. That means you're on equal footing with him. I know he's your Lord and Savior. I know he's all God. I know he did all that. But the Bible right there says that you are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. There is nothing that he has that it does not belong to you. The Bible tells us that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Everything, absolutely everything that you need is wrapped up in Christ Jesus. Well, how do we receive it? Thank him for it. If he's already given it to you, thank him for it. You know, we spend a lot of time asking God for stuff. Have you noticed that? People are always asking God for something. Always asking God for something that he's already given them. I imagine there's some angels standing around saying, man, this boy is hard-headed. Is he ever going to get this through his thick skull? You know, Jesus gave us a perfect picture that when he got to Lazarus' tomb, he went up there and he said, Father, I thank you for hearing me, and I thank you that you always hear me. And then he said, Lazarus, come forward. Lazarus, come forward. Looks to me like he thanked his way into a miracle. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to believe that we receive it, and then we'll see it. So, if we really believe we received it, then why aren't we thanking him for it? You know, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So don't waste any more time asking God to meet your needs. He already said he would. Start thanking him for it. Say, Father, I thank you that you're meeting all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said he sent his word and it healed them. Quit asking God to heal you and start thanking him that he already did. You know, in fact, your healing was taken care of before your sins were. A lot of people believe God for the big things a whole lot easier than they do the small things. You know, the big thing is your salvation. We have no problem knowing we're born again, we're going to heaven. And then somehow we have a hard time doubting that we'll be healed. And to God, that's the smaller thing. The big thing, to take care of our salvation, he had to put Jesus on the cross and he had to die. Our healing got taken care of by the stripes on his back. So what we need to do is adjust our thinking. When we adjust our believing, our thinking will line up. And the only way that lines up is through the Word of God. A lot of times people try to take the whole picture and they're going to understand the whole Bible and they're going to operate in it. And then they get frustrated when they don't. God never expected you to do that. He lets us know in the Bible we go from grace to grace. You can watch even Peter, you know, when he was in jail, the angel had to kick him to wake him up to get him out of there. A lot of people see the end result and they think, well, I should be there. What makes you think? Did you know Peter had a journey? If you follow Peter backwards, you'll see how before he went to prison, he was in a boat that Jesus told him to get into. And he started sinking and he cried out to Jesus. Jesus saved him. But before that boat ride, he had another boat ride where Jesus went with him. And they started sinking. Cried out to Jesus. Jesus saved them. But before that boat ride, Jesus was a fisherman. Or he was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus said, follow me. So he started following him and he started learning one step at a time. He didn't just go from being a fisherman to being this guy that got delivered out of a prison. That didn't just happen. He went from one revelation to the next. And in fact, one day Jesus asked him, said, who do you say that I am? And some of them said, well, some say you're John. Some say you're the prophet. Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the anointed one, the Christ. Peter got a revelation of who Jesus was. Every time we look into the Bible and we learn something new of Jesus, we have more of a revelation of who he is. God has a lot of descriptive names. There's a lot of different names for him. And that's who he is to you in a certain area. Do you need God the protector? Then find out how he protects you in the Bible. Look at Psalms 91 and receive him as God the protector. Do you need God the healer? Find out how by his stripes you were healed, how he sent his word and it healed them. He'll be God the healer to you. Do you need God the provider? Find out in Philippians 4:13 where it says, my God shall supply all your needs. He'll be God the provider to you. What is it you need him to be? Find out in his word where it describes what he is and let him be that to you. See, we're going to have to look into his word and meditate on these promises and thank him for them. Then they'll become a reality to us. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for protecting us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for delivering us. We thank you for prospering us. Father, we thank you for our high priest, the Lord Jesus, who is always making intercession for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time. Father, we are so excited for this time that we're in. We don't know exactly how we're getting from point A to point B, but we know that when we get to point B, it's going to be glorious. And Father, help us to enjoy the ride. Help us to see the glorious things you're doing every day. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.